Welcome to another C3 Church Rockingham podcast. For more information about C3 Rockingham, please visit www.c3r.org.au.
Well, as I said, you know, I love Christmas. This is the season we celebrate the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ into the world. And in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, here Isaiah prophesies about a small child coming into the world. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. This small child is Jesus. He would grow up and become the Savior of the world. And we're so thankful for Jesus, right? Not a lot was said about Jesus as a small young child growing up, other than the fact that he loved being in the house of God. He was found in the temple and he would love going about doing his Father's business, his Heavenly Father's business. It did say then Jesus grew in stature and in wisdom and found favour with God and people. That was pretty much what was said up to the age of when he started his ministry. And so though God is a big God, he always starts with a small. And Jesus started the exact same way. He started with a small way. And have you, I'm sure you have, and I'm just going to put it out there, but something for you to think about. Have you ever been frustrated with God because you think he's not moving fast enough in your situation? I thought I'd get an amen there. I think a lot of us, and at times, become very impatient with God at times because God always starts with the small. He accepts us just as the way we are, but he loves us too much to leave us the way we are. And it's the main reason why I believe we take things in our own hands and we do things in our own strength at times. Much like when you're driving down the road in a one-lane road and there's a truck or a car, a slow truck or a car in front of you, and there's two white lines on the right-hand side. And so you think to yourself, am I going to sit behind this thing for the rest of Anchortel Road? Not mentioning names. Or am I going to look to see if there's any oncoming traffic? And if there's not, am I going to pass this thing? Which obviously I didn't, obviously. But I wonder how many times you and I, we've crossed the two white lines. We've gone ahead and done things our way instead of God's way because we thought God wasn't moving, because we thought God was moving too slow and not fast enough for our situation or what we are believing God for. And in Zechariah chapter 4, verse 10, this is what he says. Do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin, to see the plumb line in Zerubbabel's hand. Another translation says, and I think it's very, very potent here, says, there they were disappointed because so little progress is being made, but they will see Zerubbabel continue to build the temple and be glad. That word disappointment, I think, sometimes gets a hold of us. See, God was describing the way the people were thinking and feeling at the time about him. Though they thought there would have been so much more accomplished at that time, so much more done, so much more progress in rebuilding the temple, when they got there, there wasn't a lot of progression. And I think a lot of us have felt that way in some place. Now, I know personally for me, you know, we've been bought this place 11 years ago, 11 and a half years ago. And I've got to be honest with you, we thought what's getting done out there would have been done a number of years ago. The progress was slower than what we thought. But thank God now we can see the almost completion taking place. The renovations is almost completed. But in our mind, in our thoughts, in our desires, we wanted it done 10 years ago. But God's timing is always good. But it was the small things that progressed that got us to this place. All of us like the finished product, but we're not crazy about the unfinished process. No one is. The inconvenience and the time in between. I mean, let's face it, there's been lots of inconvenience. You know, there's been flexibility on both parts. Our youth are doing youth somewhere else at the moment. Our children's church is a little bit scattered. But praise God, by the end of this year, we're doing children's church in there, amen? The whole place. In the same way, we can fall into the trap of being frustrated with God because we're not as further on as we had hoped in a situation or in our personal life. See, it's wonderful to have big dreams. We should have big dreams. It's wonderful to think big, and we should think big, and we should have big goals. But let's face it, you know, they don't start big straight away. They start small. They always start small. But when we should be able to see the small beginnings of things, we should be able to see the setting of that. See, they didn't think God was working on their behalf quick enough in getting this temple rebuilt. And so often what God does in our lives, he moves things from small to big so he can bring us with him. That's what he wants to do. He wants to bring us with him. If everything in our lives God did was big, there wouldn't be any small changes done in us. He wants to change us, shift us from where we are to where he is. If God gave you everything big immediately, you actually wouldn't be capable of receiving it. We want God to do big things, but we don't want to start in a small way. Let's face it. You know, if you, as a younger person, even an older person, if you asked to be wealthy straight away, successful straight away, you wouldn't be able to handle that wealth or handle that success straight away. You got to grow into it, small to big. In Zechariah chapter 4, verse 5, I'm going to read from the Message paraphrase and it'll be up on the screen so you can follow me. It says, "The messenger angel said, 'Can't you tell?' 'No, sir,' I said. Then he said, 'This is God's message to Zerubbabel. You can't force these things. They only come about through my spirit, says God of the angel's armies.'" Another translation says that it's not by might. It's not by power, but it's by my spirit, says the Lord. So big mountain, who do you think you are? Next to Zerubbabel, you are just a molehill. He'll proceed to set the cornerstone in place, accompanied by cheers. Yes, yes, do it. After that, the word of God came to me. Zerubbabel started rebuilding this temple and he will complete it. That will be your confirmation that God of the angel armies sent me to you. Does anyone dare despise this day of small beginnings? They'll change their tune when they see Zerubbabel setting the last stone in place." Now, as we come to the end of 2017, some of us may look back and may think, you know what? I'm not where I thought I would be at this time of the year. I thought I would have progressed further. I thought I would have been able to overcome this situation. I actually thought that I would be a lot further on. And let me say this, you may not be where you want to be right now, but thank God you are not where you used to be. Amen? We got to be thanking God in those small things. Pay attention to the small things that God has done in your life. That small progress, those small victories, that small achievement that you have accomplished. Let us not despise the day of small beginnings. See, if you go big before you go small, you won't be big enough to carry the big that God is trying to do and give you. Does that make sense? When I look back at all the significant things that God has done in my life, and he's done many, it's not that big bang, that big thing. It's been lots of small things along the way that God has done that's got me to the destination that he wants me in. 21 years ago was when we took over the church. And, you know, the word of the Lord then, we're just a small church. You know, we grew it from 90 to 30 in just 3 weeks. It was amazing. The word of the Lord then was, and it came from three different prophetic words, from Isaiah chapter 60, verse 22, a little one would become a thousand. And here we are 21 years ago. How incredible is that? But it was lots of little things, you know. Part of that was, you know, what we really hold on to, that we believe that God has called us to be a church big enough to impact, but small enough to care. And it's that small enough, that caring and discipling and loving and helping people progress and grow in the kingdom, that today we are over 1,000 people. But it's not about the number, it's about the word of the Lord for you. It's about that thing for you that God has called you to do. It's not without challenges. It's not without hurdles. It's not without circumstances. We've had to come. Oh, man, have we had to overcome hurdles and challenges in along this time. But people who wait for things to be perfect to start never start and they never finish. It's only those that are willing to step out and willing to begin with the small things will see the progress in their life. It's that small step. It's that small victory. We celebrate the small things God is doing in our lives. God always does big things in small ways. In small ways. See, the backdrop of Zechariah chapter 4, there was a catastrophe. Solomon's temple was destroyed and turned into rubble. The place where the people of God worship, where his presence dwelt, was in ruins. Nation after nation conquered the Israelites. They were trying to force him to worship their God. So they destroyed their temple and they wanted them to worship their God. I'm sure at times they even questioned in their heart, is God no longer with us? Are we defeated? Where are you, God? Despite all this, even under the rule of the Persians, they are starting to rebuild the temple. And at first, they were so filled with hope and anticipation. But when they arrived, they were disappointed with the progress because it wasn't as further on as they had hoped. And I'm certain that they even questioned, but why did even God allow the temple to be destroyed? Is not God the all-powerful one? That's what they would have questioned in their hearts, because we humans do that. We question things. The people of God came with the hope that the temple would be built, but all Zerubbabel had done was the cornerstone, the capstone, the beginning, the first step of the temple. They couldn't see what that one brick was about to say about their future. That one brick, that cornerstone. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 17, verse 20. If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. And nothing will be impossible for you. And nothing will be impossible for you. See, this is the same imagery Jesus uses in Zechariah chapter 4 that we've just read. See, he says this to Zerubbabel, it's not going to be by your might, Zerubbabel, not by your power, but it's going to be by my spirit. So big mountain, who do you think you are? Next to Zerubbabel, you are nothing but a molehill. Not by your own power, not by your own might, but by my spirit, says God, by faith in me, by faith and trusting in me. Now, as we cross over into the New Testament, the Bible says that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, where the presence of God dwells in us. We are this temple. How awesome is that? We are this temple. And as we read in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19, let's go there. And once again, I'm going to read from the Message paraphrase. That's plain enough, isn't it? You're no longer wandering exiles. This kingdom of faith is now your home country. You are no longer strangers or outsiders. You belong here with as much right to the name Christian as anyone else. Ah, don't you love it? God is building a home. He's using us all, irrespective of how we got here in what he is building. He used the apostles and prophets for the foundation. Now he's using you. fitting you in brick by brick, stone by stone, with Christ Jesus as the cornerstone that holds all the parts together. We see it taking shape day after day, a holy temple built by God, all of us built into it, a temple in which God is quite at home, in which God is quite at home in our hearts. Amen? This kingdom of faith is now our country. This is our domain. This is where we live. We live by faith and not by sight. We are all broken people, and God is putting us back together, brick by brick, stone by stone, and Jesus Christ is the cornerstone. That's how we make room for Jesus. He is the cornerstone of our life. So often in times in life when things begin to fall apart, has that happened to anyone at times? I'm not the only one. Okay. When things don't go as we hope, when our life begins to unravel around us, we begin to fear that God is no longer with us or for us. And that's fear. That's not of faith. Fear is false evidence appearing real. We wonder if God is big enough, powerful enough to put us back together or to fix our situation. Does He really want to take care of our life? And we know that is not true. We know He does want to take care of our lives. But we can be impatient people. Somehow we think that God should work instantaneously in our lives, all of a sudden. There is two common scenarios that take forever, and that's relevant for all of us. The first one is when we're traveling. You know what it's like when you've got kids in the back of your car. Are we there yet? Anyone heard that one? How much longer is it going to take? Are we there yet? I was saying in the first service that I had my grandson Roman in the car with me this week, and he knew where we were going, and he kind of got the gist, only 4 years old, of, you know, how long it would take. But I took a couple of detours, and he's thinking, are we there yet? It's taking longer than what I thought. He understood how long it would take. And then the second scenario is when we're about to eat. When is it ready? When is it ready? Is it nearly cooked? When is it ready? When is it coming? How much longer do I have to wait? Yes, yes, yes. And you know what? That's what you and I can do. We can be asking God, you know, why aren't we there yet? How much longer is it going to take? Is that in your prayer? Is that in your talking to God? You know, how much longer do I have to wait, Lord? Why aren't I there yet? Because we can be impatient when it comes to asking God and waiting on God. But He says to us, be patient, wait on me. It's not by your might, it's not by your power, it's not by your timing, it's by my Spirit, says the Lord. Secondly, we see that it's time to pray. And you know, it's not that long-winded prayer. Sometimes it's that prayer that comes from your innermost being. You know, there's been times when I've just said, help, help me, Lord, help me in this situation. See, but when you pray, it reveals who and where your source comes from. When you worry and get fearful over things and you get frustrated and, you know, you're not relying on Him, you're relying on your own strength. Now, I'm not talking about praying prayers that you can do in your own strength. You know, I'm guilty of this. I've said it in the first service. I'm really guilty of this because I talk to God in my everyday things. God, what should I wear today? Sometimes I think God's double-minded because I put on two or three things, you know. No, I did it in my own strength the first time. The second time I listened to Him. No. But, you know, what should I wear today? And I ask God to give me favour so I can get a car park spot at the shopping centre right at the front, you know. But they're the things that we can actually do in our own strength. You know, we talk to God and we ask God. I'm talking about the prayers that come from a place where you know you can't accomplish it on your own. You can't do this on your own. You need Him and depend on Him to bring you through that situation or to help you overcome that situation. That's the time when you must pray always without ceasing. And some of you, it's just really practical. You may have an addiction in your life. It's a stronghold. Maybe you want to stop drinking, but you can't break free from this destructive pattern that's going on in your life. You've tried and tried doing it in your own strength, but you just can't do it. It's got so deep into your soul that you do not have the power to break free or the internal resilience to stay away from it all. Or you just don't want to. You need God's Spirit to do a work in you because you cannot do it alone. And groups like AA say you must go to a higher power. They understand the process of breaking free from a devastation addiction. It's not going to just require you. It's going to require a higher power. What is the small thing in you that you're trying to do that you can't do alone? See, the greatest thing is not finding a higher power, a higher power. The greatest thing is finding the higher power. That is the difference. That is far more powerful. So for us, maybe you're overwhelmed. Maybe you have anxiety. Maybe you got to the end of the year and you know what? Oh, I'm just feeling so anxious and overwhelmed, run down and tired. Stop creating. Stop allowing those cracks in your soul to affect you and start praying. Start praying into that situation, giving it to God, saying prayers like, Lord, I give it to you. I breathe in God this morning and I breathe out all the cares of the world. I breathe out all those things that I can't do on my own. I depend on you to bring me through this. I depend on you for this answer. I depend on you for this miracle or this significant issue in my life. People of God said, building a temple? How difficult could it be? Why aren't you further on as it is? Building the house of God, how difficult could it be? Oh, let me tell you, the greatest spiritual warfare that Claude and I have experienced is when we're buying land and building the house of God. That is the greatest time when we experience spiritual warfare or when we're breaking new ground. In the same way, you and I, we are a spiritual temple. We are a spirit. So when you decide to go all in for God, when you decide to step out, when you decide to do something for the kingdom of God, do you think that you're not going to get resistance? Do you think you're not going to do that? The enemy hates that. And we must remember what it is. It's not God stopping us. It's us having to push through. Pray until something happens. The children of God faced conquest after conquest, destruction upon destruction. What they longed to see happen, only God could make happen. It's why Psalm 127 says, unless the Lord builds the house, we're going to labor in vain. We can't do it in our own strength. We need him. I need him. I need him. It's in these times that the small matters of the heart really matter. That's how the enemy tries to get in. Leave no door for the enemy to gain legal right or control over your situation. That small thought, that wrong thought, that becomes a conviction, then becomes a word for you, then becomes an action, and then becomes a lifestyle. Like, do not let bitterness take root in your heart. Why would God talk about bitterness when there's more terrible things to talk about, like hatred and violence and murder and genocide and all those things? Because he talks about that small thing because that's where it starts. That's where it starts. It starts with a bitter, bitter heart. God talks a lot about the thoughts in the Word of God. We think our thoughts don't hurt anyone, but they do. They hurt us first. Proverbs and James talks about our words. Let no unwholesome word come out of your mouth. God knows that it's in the small things, the soil of our hearts, that the big things will come out eventually. God says, take care of these things. In these small things, what you must grow in is forgiveness, is love, is joy, is peace, is patience, is kindness, is goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. These are things that are going to grow you into men and women of God that he wants to use you in a powerful way. This is the material that God is able to use you to grow in. See, being faithful in these small things, and God will entrust you with the big, with the more, with so much more. But we mustn't despise the day of small beginnings. We must say and speak to our mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea and look at it as if it's a molehill, because in the eyes of God, that's all it is. This echoes from Jesus' words when he says, speak to your mountain and it will be removed. It will be cast into the sea. So how is it that Jesus says all you need is faith as small as a mustard seed? But we're always talking about, I need more faith. I need more faith. And yes, yes, we do grow in faith. Yes, we must. I'm not talking about that. But sometimes we just need to use that little bit of mustard seed that we've been given to create the big faith out of it. Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing the word of God. It's what you do with the first hearing that you can start to go and move into that greater faith. It's not how much faith you have, it's what you have faith in or who you have faith in. I've got faith when I sit in that chair that I'm not going to be falling flat on my bottom. That's not the faith I'm talking about. It's faith in him, faith in the cornerstone of our life. When you are moving not by might nor by power but by the Spirit of God, you will gain victory over the things that have held you captive. You will find success in the things that have kept you in failure. And the mountains will move in your life. But don't wait for someone else to clear it for you. You can go somewhere where no one else has walked before. You can go there. God wants to do big things in your life. It doesn't mean that they're so big that everyone else will see them. It's so that you cannot deny them. You cannot. The big things that God has done in my life started in me, started inside. My desires changed. The things I wanted years ago, I don't want now. I want different things. The greatest miracle is what happens inside you. When we become born again, that is instant. That is instant. We become brand new creations in Christ Jesus when we give our lives to Jesus. We get given a new heart. That is instant. That's a miracle in itself. That's the only thing that's instant, because our minds nearly take forever. When you start to do things in the rhythm of God's Spirit in your life, God will do things that could never have happened without him. If you want to build a beautiful life, stop trying to build a life that you can build on your own, and build the life that you can only build by trusting with God for your life. Giving God your all, giving God your whole life. Go all in. There will be resistance. It'll be stepping stones. It'll be brick by brick, stone by stone. But you will get to that place where you're all in. Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him. So all those mountains, when you do that, will be removed. It will become a flat land, a plain field, a molehill. Time and time again, when the mountains I faced were insurmountable, I would never have overcome them without his Spirit intervening on my behalf. God moved these mountains, but you and I, it's up to us to speak to that mountain. We have to do something. When we begin to live a life alive in the Spirit of God, beyond your own power and your own might, your soul will be awakened to the capstone, the cornerstone, the brick, which is Jesus. You may only see right now your life as rubble, as darkness, even as brokenness, failures, inadequacies. And if you're around the wrong people, that's all they will see in you as well. I want you to hold on to that cornerstone, that capstone. I want you to hold on to Jesus and declare, I am a work in progress. Come on, let's all say it. I am a work in progress. Brick by brick, stone by stone, God is building you. He's building in you. You may have had some setbacks, but I want to tell you there is a comeback coming back for you. Amen. Stay on the journey. Stay strong. Be courageous. That's what he's talking to us about. Be strong and courageous. It's having faith and trust in Jesus to complete his work in you. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4 says, you are coming to Christ. This is what you're coming to this morning. You are coming to Christ, who is the living cornerstone. We serve a living God. He's alive in us. You are his living cornerstone, who is the living cornerstone of God's temple. He was rejected by people, but he was chosen by God for great honor. And you are living stones that God is building into his spiritual temple. What's more, you are his holy priests. Through the mediation of Jesus Christ, you offer spiritual sacrifices that please God. And as the scriptures say, I am placing a cornerstone in Jerusalem, chosen for great honor. And anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. Isn't that good news? Anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. You are living stones and God is building into you his spiritual temple. You are a finished work in the mind of God. You are not a piece of work. You are a finished work of God. Amen? In the mind of God, you are already complete. You are already whole. But God is building in you something significantly in you, something big in you. And he does it brick by brick. Thank God for the bricks. Amen? Thirdly, faith always requires hands, requires action. In Zechariah, in verse 8, he repeats it again so we don't miss this. He had to use somebody. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of his temple. His hands shall also finish it. Now, God's able to do everything, right? But he uses our hands. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. For who has despised the day of small beginnings? The Lord said to Zerubbabel, I'm putting it into your hands. I'm going to use you to build this thing. But I'm going to be with you. My spirit's with you. I'm going to do it with you. God is looking for men and women that will not work on his behalf by their own might, by their own power, but by his spirit. By his direction, by his leading, his ways, the word of God ways, not by our own ways. Because he is going to use you to move mountains, do what others think is impossible, to live a life that becomes a marker of his presence. But he doesn't do it magically and he doesn't do it superficially. He does it with you and I. He wants to use his sons and daughters to do it with. Everything on earth, he does it with us that are willing to surrender and submit and be used by him. When God is working, it's actually evidence that you are working. We're not working from a longing to be accepted by God. We're working from an acknowledgement that we are accepted by God. So the question again I want to ask you, there's two questions today that I've asked you, and this is the second one. What has God put in your hands to do? What has he given you to do? Look at everything that God has given you. Don't look at what he hasn't given you. Look at what God has given you and be faithful with that. Be faithful with that. And when you're faithful with the small, he'll do even greater. This is one of the reasons why God established the process of tithing, because he wants to know how much more he can put in your hands. See, it's equal sacrifice, it's not equal giving. If he can trust you tithing with 20,000, he's going to be able to trust you to tithe on the 200,000. And if he can trust you to tithe on the 200,000, he can trust you to tithe on the 2 million. But he starts with a small, he starts with the 20,000. If you can be faithful with that, then he'll entrust you to give you more. He'll put more in your hands to use for his glory. Amen? So when you start giving and trusting God, you're saying, I know, God, you have put this in my hands because you trust me. This morning, as you consider this, just with eyes closed right now, I'm going to call Pastor Claude to come up. I want to ask you this question. What is that small thing, that little thing, that unnoticed thing, the ignored thing that will actually change you forever? Bible says, for the Lord rejoiced to see the work begin, to see the plumb line in Zerubbabel's hand. The seven lamps represent the eyes of the Lord that search all around the world. God sees you and he rejoices, even in the small things that you do on his behalf. This morning, you got up out of your bed and you came to church. God sees that. God sees that. See, often we put too much emphasis on the finished product and not enough in the process. You and I are all a work in progress. It starts with little faith and then it grows to more faith. Let's not despise the day of small beginnings, church. I want you to consider this morning. What has God put in your hands? What is that thing in your life that you know you need to change in? It doesn't have to be big, it can be little. God starts with the small, but you know that'll shift you. It's time to leave your past and see the future ahead. Some of you just need to let go of the past. That's a word for somebody. Some of you just need to not miss the beauty that's right there in front of you. Appreciate and value each day that God has given you. The Lord wants to do something significant in you, but it starts with lots of small things. What's that small thing that you know you need to do?
This is the end of the podcast. For more information about C3 Rockingham, please visit www.c3r.org.au or call us on 9524 5055.